You're listening to The Cowboy Pages. Come with me, Christy Crowley, as I travel America in search of cowboy poets and their wisdom. Today's book, Santa Clarita, California, Chapter 1. I have to live this stuff. My conversation with musician Bren Hill.
She wrote him and told him goodbye. Well, he was off serving a mission. He came home and went back to cowboy. She's 40 years old and still wishing. When dawn breaks tomorrow on Utah, he'll saddle up once again and hit that long trot through the canyon. And she'll wake up wondering about him, singing, I could have married a cowboy, but I broke a good cowboy's heart. Now whenever I pass high, I wonder where now.
Bren Hill is a working musician. In addition to being a parent and a husband, he maintains an active performing schedule and has near a dozen albums to his credit. This kind, bright, and generous man sat down with me in Santa Clarita, California, and I wanted to know how someone so young could have already done so much. So many albums. It's really amazing. It's a lot of material.
Yeah.
What is your songwriting process? What does that look like for you? How does that happen?
Oh, I have to live this stuff. You know, I think that's why I couldn't be a formulated, you know, format songwriter, which honestly I did sort of give an effort. You know, I just, it was such an empty process, you know. It was empty of emotion. It was more procedure than inspiration. Actually, Billy Joel, when I said that songs come from life, and you know, I admire songwriters from many genres. So I have to go live this stuff, and you know, I got to get myself on the back of a horse. I got to get into the country that inspires me and around the people that inspire me. And that is the first step of the creative process. You know, R&D for me is, you know, actually get in the saddle, actually get on the mountain. And so I do probably as much of that as I possibly can. You know, I have a lot of songs in this chapter of my life that are coming from being a father of three kids. Mm-hmm. And you know, the challenges and struggles that come from raising a family. One of my middle son is a cancer survivor, brain and spinal cancer survivor.
Wow.
And I never imagined, you know, that as, you know, as a father, as a family, we would go through something, you know, so challenging. But, you know, that's been a great inspiration for me as an artist. And that's filled, you know, the well of inspiration for me. So, you know, the first step is to actually have real, true life experiences that I can draw on as an artist. You know, the next step really is discipline. And I have to set aside the time. I have to, you know, wrap my mind around the literal effort that goes into songwriting. And, you know, fortunately, I really love it. And, you know, I love the process of the whole creative process from beginning to end. I love starting a song, you know, finishing a song. I think, you know, you go through phases as an artist, you know, this inspiration, power of creativity is just such a awesome force when you're a young artist and you just want to roll with it. You know, it's almost like you're surfing a wave. And then, you know, down the road a ways, you sort of feel like you want to harness it and control it a little bit and guide it. And so I think really the last 10 years, maybe the last 5-6 records, I would say, I think, you know, I start with an end point in mind as an artist. And, you know, that's, I think, the most significant development that I've probably witnessed in myself. And, you know, in that process, I think you come to terms with the fact that you're an artist, that, you know, your art is going to be presented in the best light possible, but subject to the whims and the follies of, you know, the channels that can present it to the public. And, you know, in the end, your satisfaction comes from being creative. And so that for me is what makes being an artist okay, you know, as a guy with 3 young kids to provide for.
I mean, too, going down that path, you're out on the road a lot, right? You're performing, you're away from your family.
Quite a bit, yeah.
That has to be a real negotiation, and that has to be challenging, I would imagine. And how do you, you know, how do you balance that?
You know, I think the way anyone does who works as a parent, you know, you find purpose and meaning in providing. You know, fortunately, technology nowadays keeps us in pretty good touch with our loved ones, you know. The one I feel bad about that really is not really when I'm out here performing on the road, but, you know, when I go home and I throw my saddle in the truck and disappear in the mountains for a few days, you know, and I think, man, there's a lot of stuff going on at home, but I'm still compelled to, you know, to make that first step in the creative process, which is go live this stuff, go find the stories, go find the people that are inspiring, the places that are inspiring, and you know, find new things to write songs about. And sometimes, you know, the R&D part of that takes me away from my family just as much as the touring, you know. But I suppose I deal with that the same way any working parent does. It, you know, my kids have interests and lives to live, and I'm making that possible. And you know, I feel some purpose and meaning in that. Yeah.
Going back to your prolific body of work, you actually, correct me if I'm wrong, but you produced your first 2 albums, right, on your own? Is that true?
You know, I wasn't the creative producer, but yeah, my dad loaned me the money to make those records, and you know, I think he later found out that he was an angel financier. The payments got further and fewer between as we decided we had more records.
What was
fund.
The choice to do that on your own?
You know, that's interesting. Yeah, I really, like I say, I had that little brief stint as a Nashville songwriter, and I learned a lot. I learned that there was a process of sort of harnessing that creative energy. And you know, a way that you could channel that into something that you could craft and control to some degree. And so I really am grateful for that. But leaving that environment just, you know, really affirmed my core values as an artist. And you know, the things that I wanted to accomplish as an artist, which is give a voice to the rural West and the lifestyle that I've been, you know, such a part of as a kid growing up. So, you know, I really, when I set out to make those first 2 records, I think I was, you know, very, very determined to, you know, put forth art that was real and that came from, you know, the depths of my soul as an artist. And I'm just fortunate that I had, you know, the means to do that and the channels to do that, you know, and they just sort of kind of opened at the right times. You know, I think of these little mom and pop distributors that were selling CDs to the, you know, national parks and the gift centers and museums and in towns like Cody, Wyoming, and, mm-hmm. you know, the saddle shops. And, you know, all these people were just kind of starting to get into music that, you know, was relevant to the immediate environment and to the communities that that they were in. And so all of a sudden there was a channel, you know, and it, you know, provided me a way to keep on making music, you know, and make kind of eke out a little bit of a livelihood and start a family and keep going. And I, you know, there's been times I've thought, you know, when my son got diagnosed with cancer, I thought, well, I'm going to go do something different because, you know, I can't do this anymore. This is going to break us enough financially that we're not going to be able. But, you know, my mentors rallied around me and, you know, did fundraisers for my family, benefit concerts for my son, and made it possible for me to keep going and doing this and keep making music. And so I've just always, you know, felt like I was just kind of given this opportunity. And I feel a real great responsibility to make the most of it, to be very prolific as an artist, as you mentioned, and to get it right.
Well, you know, it's interesting. This is not exactly a question, but from the outside, looking at your career, it looks really, you know, you look very successful, which is great. But it's really quite lovely to hear that underneath it, there are days when you think, maybe this isn't going to work, or maybe I can't keep this going. It's, I think we present so much of this sort of image thanks to our media and thanks to Facebook and all of that, where it just, everything looks really great and we get to curate the message that's going out. But we're all kind of in the same boat, and there are those days. For any artist, even any artist. Successful artist.
For sure, yeah.
It's inspiring and reassuring.
Yeah, artists are people, you know, and sometimes, you know, those most profound struggles create the best art. And, you know, I think, you know, when you get the beauty of if I can point out for me as a fan of this genre, what makes it so special is the artists in this genre are doing this because they love it and because they find some greater purpose and meaning in doing it. And, you know, they're giving a voice back to agricultural America. And, you know, our crowds are small, but the people that support us are just salt of the earth. They're loyal. They live this stuff. And, you know, we feel like it's just kind of one big family, really.
Going back into your creative process, you're writing your own songs, you're singing them, you're playing guitar. Where do you get your kind of critical feedback in your process?
Yeah. Well, you know, my wife is a really great critic. And
is she a musician as well?
She's not. She just is uniquely... She's been so close to this, you know, we were married for 15 years now. So she's been close to this, and she's kind of watched the evolution of me as an artist and the career. She's been there through the lows and through the highs, and she is brutally honest, which I appreciate, you know. She's also, you know, probably my number one fan, and she just gives me a ton of support. But she really is good to tell me, you know, I'm not getting that, and I don't think anybody else is either, you know, and she can make, you know, laser sharp observations. So really, she's kind of a really good frontline critic. I think I, as an artist, as I've developed over time, I think I've become pretty tough, and I try to be really tough on myself, you know, I think many artists are, but I try to really be very, you know, hypercritical about my music, about my art, and I throw a lot of stuff in the garbage, you know. But you know, that's good because it keeps me going back to the well and trying to do better. You know, we just recorded, and this is record 12. I think it's probably my I don't like the word best. I think it's probably the most refined process. Meaning, as a songwriter, I think I got a collection of tunes that that are really well crafted. I think as a performer, I just spent hours and hours woodshedding these tunes so that I could go in, you know, and sit in the midst of world class, you know, musicians, engineer, and make a great record and get live takes, me playing and singing, get the emotion of the live takes. And wow, I spent a long time woodshedding. I really worked hard at it. It took something out of me, you know. I'm feeling that, but you know, and really, I don't take I don't really know what, you know, that I'm a little ambivalent, to be honest with you. I think I'm looking ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm.
Well, I think it's you know, it's such a tricky thing as an artist. I think it's easy to be critical almost for the sake of being critical. It's like we just love to beat ourselves up about whatever is going on. You know, how do you cross that line from just doing that to actual rigor in your process, you know, and really looking at something with a critical eye and going back and refining it? I think that's such a great word. You know, can I refine this? Can I refine this? Just talking a little bit about Spirit Rider, in particular that song, I really love, and the lyrics of that song. If you have anything beyond the song itself to say about it, I'd love to hear. But there, what really struck me is the way that you are kind of changing who's speaking. Like there's a shift between first person and third person, which is such a cool thing. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. And that, you know, the song is about this kind of, and of course this is my interpretation, but you know, that sense of this kind of spirit and energy that's around you, that's the past and the future, and you know, that's connected to the land and the kind of energy that the natural world has that can pull you out.
Well, I know you can't imagine riding on alone, carrying on this ranch on your own. Now the winds of change are blowing, winter's setting in, and you look like you have lost your best friend. Feeling like the good times are all gone. Wonder if it's time for moving on.
Spirit Rider was inspired by the Weston family. The Weston family is probably one of Utah's, I would say, most significant and you know, deeply rooted ranching families. There's eight brothers in and around Randolph, Woodruff, Lake Town, and they all ranch, and their offspring ranches, and they're great bronc riders. They're great ropers. They're some of the best guys I've ever known, the best cowboys I've ever known. And you know, one of the brothers' youngest son was killed in a crash. He rolled his truck a year and a half ago, and you know, I went up and sang at his funeral, and there was this the Weston family, which is one of the most striking families you'll ever see, and they're all huddled together in their grief, you know, in a chapel there in Randolph. And you know, that song is really the story of you know, the fact that the spirit of Tyrell will always be a part of this family. You know, they are perpetuating a lifestyle and a way of life and a product that you know, makes it possible for everybody else to live their lives. And you know, there's something very eternal about ranch families. And so that song is really about the spirit of a young cowboy coming back and lifting up, you know, the saddened hearts of his brother and of his father and of his cousins and his uncles. And you know, there is for me fundamentally a very you know, my faith is a big part of what I do. You know, I think many of the people that partner with the land to produce a product are pretty spiritual. They have you know, deep values, and a lot of them rely on their faith to get them through their challenges and struggles, which are profound. So I'm no different. The Weston family is that way, and that was the title track of what I call a broad-based faith recording.
You know, you can feel it. It's really...
That's the goal. You know, I think that's really the goal. And like I say, I think, you know, going down the path that I've gone down as an artist and spending the, you know, better than now 2 decades doing it and you know, kind of having a pretty profound sense of self, I think, as an artist at this point, that's what drives me, creating that reaction. It's not, you know, can I sell millions of these things, or, you know, even are we going to make enough money if we make this record to survive? It's, can I inspire people?
There it is. Refinement. That special act of making more pure what was once bulky or even crude. I was so taken with the elegant simplicity with which Bren is able to speak about his process. His understanding of what he makes, how he makes it, and for whom is so refined. I find myself now struggling to make more clear the beautiful mess that's my inspiration. How can I take the image, this, the thoughts, the questions that fill this inspiration and turn them into something more than just a mess realized, but into an actual work of art? Perhaps the lesson that Bren gives me is the making of art is, in fact, a process of continued work. It's, as he calls it, part R&D, part reworking material, part getting critiques, part seeing an end point, and part not letting fear, in whatever form it might take, stop you. Bren is good at what he does because of talent. There's no doubt there. But I think, too, with such a large body of work to his credit, it's also through experience, discipline, and showing up to work every day. I'm so thankful to Bren for reminding me not to be satisfied with just the rough edges of inspiration, but to continue to polish that rock until the revelation of sculpted beauty is exposed. His attention to detail and his own rigor prove that even the smallest detail can uncover the greatest truth, and that when we live it, we can share it freely. And I'm thankful to you for listening. To learn more about our show, Cowboy Poets and Musicians, and to see pictures of my travels, visit thecowboypages.com.